Andy Kuhlman.
My name is Andy Kuhlman, K-I-L-E-N. I live at 1527 9th Avenue Southeast, Rochester, Minnesota. I'm married, been married for 19 years. I have three children. I guess my concern here for being here tonight is I'm part of the traditional family values, if you will. I am a Christian in the biblical sense of being born again, in that I believe that as we are all born, we are born with one nature, and born again simply meaning that we accept Christ and his finished work, and therefore we have a new life. I would like to direct my statements to, I guess, our legislatures, in that it would seem to me that the problems as a society and as a state and a nation and on a global basis that we are having are so encompassing, from our environment, our educational problems, the United States. I think it's pretty well agreed that we're having problems beginning, and we'll have more competing with other nations because of our lack of education, or our taxes. I pay probably at least 30% of my taxes to, or my income to taxes in one form or another, whether it be state, local, or federal. Our deficit in the nation is so great that if something isn't done about it, which our federal legislators are having a hard time getting together to decide what to do about that debt, if it continues, we're not even going to be able to refinance that debt if we can't get that cut. We have homeless people. We have hungry people all over the world, in our nation, in our country, that make up a great part of our communities everywhere. It seems to me that to take a group of people that consists, depending upon whose figures you read, from 2% to 10%, which the gay and lesbian community encompasses, to give them some sort of priority, and by saying that, I'm certainly not saying that discrimination is right. I'm not saying that they should, that if they're discriminated against, that's okay. But it seems like in a legislature to take up time to make laws that include them with special privileges, or maybe not special privileges, but as a group, is overlooking a lot of other priorities that we aren't accomplishing. And in our education system, to infiltrate this education and homophobia, one of the problems that I understand with our school system now is all the state mandates that are coming down, and it seems to me this would be just one more state mandate that would cloud our educational system. And I guess that that's about the extent of my comments.
Thank you. Do you consider being protected by the Human Rights Act of Special Privilege?
Do I personally?
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, for instance, disabled people were not included or were not protected from being fired because they were disabled. And then they are included in human rights acts, and you think that that's a special privilege?
Aren't we all as citizens protected by the same laws?
Well, we are, except in this case. In the case of the Human Rights Act in the state of Minnesota, people who are gay or lesbian are not protected. They're not protected from discrimination at all, unless they live in a community that has a local or
Our government to decide. I think we hear so much about separation of church and state, for the legislature to make a judgment as to sexual orientation. It seems to me we can't get away from the moral issue one way or another. We always seem to come back to that, and it's been discussed here this evening. It seems to me that the government at that point is making some kind of a moral a judgment whether they're right or wrong.
Well, people are protected under the Human Rights Act on the basis of their religion. For instance, a person could not be fired from a job because he or she belongs to a certain church or a certain faith. Would you consider that as being a violation of the church-state separation? That people are not allowed to be discriminated against because of whatever.
No, but that's one of our rights under the First Amendment.
When you introduced yourself, you talked about yourself as representing traditional family values. Could you help us understand how gay and lesbian people are a threat to traditional family values or support for such things as human rights protection for them be a threat to the traditional American family?
I guess there are no direct threat. They're certainly not a threat to me. That wasn't my purpose in stating that. My purpose in stating that was that to let you know where I was coming from, that in the past, that has been the traditional family within, and I adhere to that as that's the way I live my life, and that's who I am. As far as the threat, the only threat I see to it is the future of our society is that if everyone became or chose or to be gay and lesbian, we wouldn't have no reproduction, and our society would then be in decline, which would have great implications on our society as far as who's going to pay the taxes. I think abortion is another part of that. Roger Travers felt for Rochester residents. I didn't have any idea or any intent to testify until this evening. I came after last night's in the paper. I guess I'm concerned about what the task force would take back for recommendations. I believe when you come here with a certain group of people, you could ask any kind of a group of people, or maybe you will have a task force for mechanics. You're going to get a certain group of people here. I don't think you have a cross section of really how people feel. I can see why this task force, political, probably because of a lot of noise or the greasy, loud wheel gets the grease or whatever. Maybe this is where this comes from, a task force. I don't believe in discrimination. I believe in human rights, and I don't think that the homosexual should be discriminated against. But I believe it's a morality issue. I can't believe how anybody at the clergy could even think or gone to seminary of all different religions and think different. I can't possibly foresee that, how people can't see it's a morality issue. I'm concerned about what you take back for recommendation. I think the homosexuals should have their rights. I believe in human rights. I don't believe if you're being head bashing and name calling. But I'm concerned about what you take back. And when you imply or what you take back, and people like Mr. Bishop make these laws or bring them into the lawmaking bodies, that you impose stuff that shouldn't be imposed on somebody else. Where, like the woman stated here before about you imposing laws or laws going into effect where they would make somebody else hire somebody in a religious institution or whatever that they don't want to have. I don't believe a homosexual can be a positive role model in a school. That's what I believe. I think it's a morality issue. And that's where I'm just making that statement. I'm very concerned about what you might take back as a task force.
I have a clarifying comment. The substance of what enters our report will in large part relate to the testimony that we have heard in dozen sites around the state, as well as a series of briefings from such groups as the Brain League and Outpost and People's League's Ministers, the latter two being ex-gay ministers. So we are perhaps not quite as representative of cross-section as you might like us to be, but I think we have gone to some efforts to hear opposing and varying viewpoints. What the legislature and the governor decides to do with our report is up to them. We have no power to do anything other than to travel around the state and listen and ask clarifying questions and synthesize that material and make some recommendation to the governor of the legislature, and they will do with that what they wish. And they're the ones who will be up for re-election.
But you're just getting a certain cross-section of people when you have a task force for a certain thing. You know, you don't need really a cross-section, I don't feel, of the community.
Except that the publicity has gone out so that anybody in the community is welcome. And so certain community members don't choose to appear. I mean, you can't really go out and just take people on the street and say, come to this hearing, but we have in that moment.
Right, I read it in the paper, and that's the first thing that.
We appreciate
that. I'm not sure that there is discrimination here of the people. Actually, I think that's a moral condition. That's why the church is interested in this.
I think homosexuality is a morality issue. It's unnatural, it's perversion. That's what the Bible says, and I believe the Bible.
There are positions
on that. A lot of stuff is taken out of context, a lot of stuff on that issue. But it's faith.
Thank you, Brian.
Colvone Holter.
My name is Colvone Holter. My address is 1934 Third Avenue Northeast, Rochester, Minnesota. I have no particular affiliation tonight except that I wanted to also come and testify because I felt compelled to be here and say that I'm against what the task force is trying to do, and that I don't I think even informing the task force, it's another step to legislate in favor of homosexuals, and I disagree with this very strongly. I think if a person wants to be a homosexual, I agree it's his or her own choice. He's answerable to God, and we can't really judge him, but I don't think it should be taught in public schools alongside with everything else in sexuality that's even being taught in public schools. I don't agree that the sexuality, even heterosexual or homosexual, should be taught in public schools. I think it's up to the parents to tell the children how we are formed. And there again, you know, in how we are created, it's a heterosexual act. And I would agree with the man before me. It is a moral issue. It's very definitely a moral issue. Because it wouldn't have to be debated if it were not a moral issue, if it were as common as that you go to bed at night and go to sleep and wake up in the morning and that the sun comes up in the morning. If it weren't a moral issue, it wouldn't be even questioned. So I feel strongly that way. Again, I don't want to have homosexuality being taught in schools as a norm. I don't want my son growing up with homosexual role models because I don't think it's right. And I think that we can legislate morality. We do legislate morality because we have laws against murder, we have laws against rape, and incest and adultery, and the list goes on. And these lists come from the Ten Commandments, which are in the Bible. And the Bible does state that it is a sin. Homosexuality is a sin. And so I have to be honest and true to my God and be here before you and say that I don't want it to be legislated. And I think it does cause a threat to society because I think our society should teach our children that the normal thing to grow up is in a family of a mother, a father, and the children. And whether the children are born naturally to that parent, the mother and father, or through adoption, which again crosses another thing that is questioned as morality, is abortion, which is again a moral issue. Because it is wrong to abort unborn children, and their children are wanted, because they are wanted by lots of people who are unable to have children. So I just stand here before you to testify on that behalf.
Do you think that homosexuality is a learned behavior?
I think it's a chosen behavior. I think a person chooses to be a homosexual, to live a homosexual lifestyle, and I believe it can be changed through true repentance and seeking out God. I believe that a person can change from living a homosexual lifestyle, and I know people have.
You talked about, and I'm paraphrasing perhaps here, that you would want taught in school the norm of mother, father, and children, traditional family. Do you have some sense here in the city of Rochester what percentage of the population would fit that configuration of mother and father and children living together in one household?
No, I don't. So.
If there were individuals who did not fit that configuration, you alluded to some of those who do not have children. Do you think their human rights should be protected or not?
To have a mother and father with no children, that the human rights of the mother and father should be protected?
That's correct.
Is that what you're asking? Yes.
So that you would make allowances for some departure from the norm that you laid out, mother, father, and children?
Yes, because a mother and father still constitutes a family. Whether or not God blesses that union with children or not doesn't make them less of a family. because I have friends who are married, mother and father, or I'm sorry, you know, man and woman, husband and wife, who are unable to bear children, but they are a family, the two of them.
Could you suggest to us then a definition of family which would work for you in terms of, as a voting citizen, making decisions about public policy?
Define the family?
How would you define the family in terms of making public policy?
A man and woman who choose to get married and abide under the laws of matrimony, and which would include a closed marriage, no outside sexual activity outside of that man and woman who consent to be married and are married under the laws.
Mm-hmm. Do you think single people should be allowed to adopt children?
I've got probably mixed views on that. I think it depends very strongly on the...
I'm just talking about the legal ability to adopt children. Would it be an avenue of... I'm not really asking you if you approve of it, but do you think the state should say that it's okay for single people to adopt?
I guess for the state to say that a single person, no, I think I'd be opposed to that.
Teresa Wick.
My name is Teresa DeWitt, 1408 15th Avenue Northwest, Rochester. I wasn't planning on talking when I got here. In fact, I was terrified. I think it's important that I also state that I'm an alcoholic. And the reason I'm getting here to talk, because alcoholism is rampant in our community. I'm a lesbian too, and I truly believe it's because we deny ourselves. And I know in my own case it is so, because you have no place to turn and you have no role models to turn to talk about these feelings that you're having and trying to sort them out and understand them. And far as what people think, there's no way you can change. I'm up here and I've heard several statements about the church and all that stuff. But I do believe people are forgetting one fact. There is a constitutional law that does state of separation of church and state. So far as I'm concerned, the churches or anybody else should not be telling what the laws of the land should be. I guess the best way I can state this, talk about, I've lived in Rochester all my life. I've grown up here, and I've had to deal with the homophobia in this community. It's not so blatant as it is in other communities. We don't have people running around bashing us in the heads or threatening us with our things, but it's there. We know it's there. That's why I'm so terrified of being up here. I have to tell you, I'm an alcoholic, and last weekend I was called by my group and asked to speak at an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous to get up and tell my story. And I said, I can't really do that. And they said, well, and the person I talked, you know why. What am I going to do? What am I going to talk about? A few of my drunken escapades? Because if I'm going to talk about my alcoholism and what has happened to me up to this point, I'm going to have to tell my whole story and why I believe I'm an alcoholic to some extent. And it has a lot to do with this suppression. And I said, until I feel free enough to get up in front of a lot of people and say what is on my mind, and here I am. I can't do it. And if she called me tomorrow, I still don't know if I can do it. Tomorrow is another day. You know, they tell us to live 24, one day at a time, and that's what I'm doing. That's how I feel. As far as feelings of being gay, I've had them since I was 7 years old, as far as I know. Feelings, I don't know, at the time, of course, I didn't know they were gay feelings. All I knew is I had attractions for women or whatever. But what I got into my high school years and I started having all these more feelings and started wondering, where am I going to turn? What am I going to do? I didn't understand them. I didn't know what was going on in my life. And I think I probably went to the same school your son went to because I heard those remarks all the time. And so therefore, I kept getting smaller and smaller in the classroom, saying less things and doing less things. I was a good student, but I never talked about what really mattered in my life. And then I went away to college and I thought, well, maybe, just maybe, I can have some freedom here. But in the meantime, I had gotten into a relationship that year before I went away to college, I got in a relationship with a man. It just didn't feel right. It wasn't right. I went away to college. And telling you what's bad about not having a role model when you're growing up, you don't learn about yourself. You don't learn that you're right. You don't have no one to talk to, your feelings. Nobody should be introduced to their sexuality in bed. They should learn it the right way. And that's what happened to me. I went away to college, and I was very naive. I grew up in a very protected home. I went away to college, and I was approached by an older woman in one of my classrooms and asked to come out with her one evening, and we proceeded to get drunk and high, and we went to bed. And it was, felt good, but the next day she gave me a phone number. That wasn't her phone number. I never saw her again. And what I'm saying, so what do? I bury myself. I come back to town. I get involved again with a man. I start same old rigmarole. And then I start doing other things. Start going to the bars, looking, drinking. Because you all know, Jim talks about getting into a bar in this town. Before you have a bar, the young people have got to learn to deal with their sexuality healthy. There's nothing wrong with bars if you're going there to dance and to socialize with people. But if you're going there to find yourself, it's the worst thing you can do because you're not going to find yourself there. I didn't find myself there. All I found was a handy bottle. And a few people maybe on this side of me and that side of me buying me beers and talking. But, give me a break. That's not what you're there to be, to find yourself. And I could. And so there I was for 7-8 years just on a roller coaster of drinking, getting involved on softball teams where I knew there would be a lot of people like myself, but nobody talked about it. Everybody, we all knew we were there, but nobody knew each other. It was like, and so drinking and drinking and went up with a DUI, smashed up my car, tried to kill myself, and just all these little things. Minor things that happen in your life because you can't accept yourself because of the denial, because you have nowhere to turn. I know there's wonderful psychologists and psychiatrists now in this town that will deal with homosexuality, but what kid really has the guts to go up to a parent or a teacher and ask, I need some help, who do I turn to? Nobody, because we're afraid to, because people are telling us all the time, you're bad, you're rotten. Anyway, so then I got into drinking some more, and finally, I joined GLS, but by that time, my alcoholism was more important than that. I did try to get involved with the community, and did what I could. But like I said, my alcoholism had taken effect, and wasn't able to be a productive community, and the people shied away from me because of my drinking and my behavior, which is understandable. I understand that all. But I just keep thinking sometimes if I would have had someone in those early years when I was growing up in high school and junior high that would have talked to me and tried to understand me, if I would have known one of my teachers was gay, I would have talked to her about these feelings. When I unfortunately wound up with this woman in Winona and felt horrible about myself for 10 years. I'm 32 now. This is an important weekend for me because this is my 1 year anniversary too, as far as not drinking. And I just said, maybe I'm committing suicide here as far as talking. But if it makes a difference as far as we need these laws, because then if teachers aren't afraid of losing their jobs or counselors afraid of losing their jobs or whatever, they're not going to be afraid to reach out to these students. And I'm talking reaching out in a healthy way, not all teachers man or woman or heterosexual, homosexual assault children. That's what 1-2% of the population. For the most part, they're good, decent people, and they need the chance to help kids. And I'm just talking from my heart. I got to tell you about homophobia. I was talking with three of my AA friends and one of my straight friends, called straight friends, and the term straight, but, you know, whatever, I don't know. I was real confused there. Anyway, she asked, how do you become an alcoholic? And I said, oh, we just touch you. And believe it or not, I reached over to touch her with my finger, and she fell off her chair trying to get away from me. And that's the misconceptions. It's not that way at all. I believe I was born this way. And I'm wondering about the people that are opposed to abortion and all that. I wonder if a woman had an amniocentesis and it came back and said that baby's going to grow up gay, what their feelings would be about abortion.
Giving yourself a nice anniversary of graduation. First year anniversary. Yes, I'd like to know tomorrow. I'd like to know for us.
May I say something else? I feel really bad. One of my friends got up here and spoke before me, and she was shunned by two of her members in her own community here. I think it's just horrible that there's homophobia amongst ourselves.
Any questions? Case, if I could follow up on something with you, and again, thank you for your testimony. I recognize that this was difficult for you. Early on, you said something to the effect that churches should not decide what the law of the land will be. I would assume that you would agree with me that individuals and groups have a right in this country to participate in the shaping of public policy. If you agree with that in general, could you help me understand the point at which church teaching should or should not be enacted in public policy, particularly in this issue?
I guess, based on my own experience, I also, last weekend, for the first time in 3 years, stepped inside a church and went to church because I felt good about myself. And I went to church and it felt so right and so just really neat being there. So I consider myself a very moral individual. I don't go out and kill people. I don't steal. I live a good life. I pay taxes. I do all that. And all I ask is that when I go out there tonight, I have the same protection as anybody else in this, and the law will enforce that protection. Most part, I've heard, I don't know if this is true, but this is what I've heard from one of my counselor friends. She said that a young man approached her group and said that he had been assaulted by another young man. And he was told by the police officers, don't bother, no one will believe you. Police officers. I'm wondering if I went out there and I got assaulted and it came out at some point, me telling those people that I'm gay, and they said, well, big deal. Are the police officers going to say that to me? Big deal. I'm a moral person. I'm a good, decent person. I have a family. My family's behind me 100%. Thank God. My friends, most of my friends, I don't know how many I'll have after tonight, are behind me. But to sit up here and tell me I don't have the right to the same protection under the law because of my sexual preference, you got to give me a better reason than because of my. If you can prove that I've gone out and killed somebody, or if I'm a bad. Now, I've had 2 DUIs and I've paid my time and my dues for those. And I've had to pay my time under the law. Now I want the protection under the law like everybody else.
So if I understand you correctly, and stop you if I'm
rambling.
That a church might decide to establish a certain code of conduct and certain beliefs for its members, and in some instances that might overlap with the broader common good of general society, but in other cases, simply because of the church doctrine, it should not be legislated into law for all people.
I agree with that, because I think then you'd have, there's how many religions in this country, then we'd have to be following everybody's religion and doctrine.
Thank you
very much.
Nancy Banks.
My name is Nancy Beckes. It's B-E-C-K-E-S, 1213 Northwest 10th Avenue, Rochester. Unlike Teresa, I hadn't planned to speak tonight. The agony I've gone through in the last few hours, I think, speaks to the fear of homophobia in this community. And I don't even know if I can get through this or not. I'm still that scared. It certainly would be a lot easier if I knew what the repercussions were going to be, even in concern if I were assured that I wouldn't lose my job. But I, because I'm not protected under law, have no definite reason to believe that the repercussions could be anything. I'd like to speak a little bit, too, to the fact that I've worked a lot with adult women who were sexually abused as children in families where there is a mother and a father and children, and the pain and the agony that they go through makes me know that that is not the answer to morality or to caring and loving people, that sometimes that's a dangerous situation to live in. And I don't believe, and I know, that most homosexuals are not interested in seducing children, that they are interested in adult loving relationships, and just as most heterosexuals are. But there are a few probably homosexuals and a few heterosexuals who have problems that hurt young people. But my experience is that it's been far more in families than in any other way, by any stranger or any teacher or anybody else, counselors. I guess there's not much more I want to say, except that I am a well-known person in the community. I'm well-respected. People know me as a very loving, caring, moral person. Most people don't know of me as a gay. This is a very spiritual, psychological experience for me tonight, because I feel that part of what I like to convey to people is a belief that they are good people as they are, who they are, and as long as they are loving and caring and not hurting other people, that they have a right to protection under the law and to be themselves. And my testimony is a personal statement that I would like to see myself be able to do that as well as everyone else. I'm kind of running out of words.
Thank you. Other questions?
Excellent question. You said in your estimate that much of the violence directed against people occurs within the family.
That's my experience working in the human relations field in the city of Rochester with adults who were hurt as children and with people who are being hurt now.
Could you help me understand then perhaps why it is that the blame for that is displaced onto homosexual people?
I wish I knew. I think...
Would you agree that that...
I would that agree blame that that blame is... In fact, I grew up in a family that's extremely religious, right-wing, would be many of the members, a very large extended family, many members would be here speaking as the people from the church have spoken tonight. And yet I grew up knowing that I had an uncle was gay and a long-term 40-year relationship until he died. I had an aunt who was in a long-term relationship and is still alive. I have a cousin who's living in a long-term relationship, one who saw her lover through, another cousin who saw her lover through an extreme experience of cancer and was by her bedside every minute. And yet, And everyone in my family, my personal family, loves those people and sees the good and the caring that was there with them. And yet if you talk to them, they would tell you that homosexuals are a threat to family and to the values of society also. You explain it to me. I don't understand it. I don't understand where that thinking comes from. Not when the examples of nothing but loving and caring have been given. And other examples in heterosexual families within the family have been given of battering and pain.
So what you shared with us then is of the line that considerable violence occurs within the family, that the blame for that is often displaced on the homosexual people, and that even in gay and lesbian relationships of long duration with significant commitment, that somehow people still see those as lesser relationships, detrimental to the role model.
Yes, my understanding of it is that because if I am a heterosexual, then, and I'm not a homosexual, then if a homosexual is somebody I can say is violent, I don't have to deal with the possibility that there's violence within myself, because it puts it out here into something else. If I can say I'm a moral person and a good Christian, and I'm a heterosexual, and I can say, that a homosexual is not, that puts it over there. I don't have to deal with my own pain about determining every day what a moral decision is and what a moral act is. That's the way
to say it. I think you're helping understand the root of prejudice.
Thank you.
Catherine Hudson.
My name is Catherine Hexum, and I live at 623 27th Street Northwest. My first concern is that if you're going to make laws to ensure the civil rights of one group, I think you have to be careful that you don't infringe upon the rights of another group. I can think of two examples of this. The first example I've already brought up, and that is regarding the Christian schools and Christian churches who might refuse a teaching position or who might refuse to ordain a pastor who happens to be a practicing homosexual. The second example I can give you is one which I read about. I'm not sure it happened in Minneapolis, but it was where the Big Brother program that's put on by the Y was not allowed by law to tell a mother that the man her son was spending time with was a practicing homosexual. And I feel it would be the mother's right to know that. Perhaps she was an evangelical Christian who happened to believe that was wrong and didn't want this as a role model for her son. I think it's really infringing on her rights not to know who her son is spending time with. The second thing I'd like to speak about, I'd like to reply to the comment also that someone said that you can't legislate morality. I agree with the person that went before me a few minutes ago who said we can and do legislate morality all the time. All of our laws are reflections of somebody's base for morality. My question is, what is our society going to use as a base for law? Whose morality are we going to choose? I'd like to speak for, I know several of the evangelical Christians who have already been up here. I believe that the only way that mankind can know moral truths is if it's revealed to him by an infinite being. Because none of us are infinite and none of us know everything about everything, we can never know moral truths within our own reason. So philosophically speaking, the only real possibility for knowing true truth is that if it is revealed by an infinite personal being. I believe that our country was founded on the Judeo-Christian teachings, and I think it's important that we hold to those teachings because it is that base which gives the most freedom for all. If you look at different cultures, such as cultures in India, where they hold to a different religious base, you have a much different culture. The rights of people in those cultures, there's no comparison to what we've experienced freedom-wise with our culture being built on the Judeo-Christian teachings. I feel that those teachings are being chipped away one by one, and I feel it really is going to be devastating to our culture, and it's going to be resulting in the loss of freedoms for a lot of people if we don't return to those teachings. And I guess the last thing I'd like to do is reply to the question about the amniocentesis. Those of us who are pro-life believe in the value of human life, and we feel that we all sin and that no one has the right to be disrespectful to another person. But if we really are to love another person, I really feel it's wrong to say that what God has revealed in history to mankind is not true. I don't think it's helping the homosexual to say what they're doing is okay, because I really think our society will be hurt in the long run by it.
That's it. Thank you. I must say I agree with almost everything that you said, and yet I come to some, I'm not sure if I come to different conclusions, but I think I have different feelings about what the discussion's been about tonight, because I agree with you that this country's been founded on Judeo-Christian principles, and what that means to me is that we see people as being made in the image of God, and because of that they have infinite worth and dignity as individuals. And from those religious gifts come logically flow some rights and some freedoms. And I sense that you fear that some freedoms are going to be taken away in some law that might be passed. And you've mentioned one about a church maybe being prevented from hiring someone of its own kind or of its own moral standing or whatever. And I think I have room in my view for that. But beyond that, I don't think that the laws should prevent participation in public life, in daily commerce, in getting a place to live, those kinds of everyday kinds of things. And that we should protect people's ability to be in daily commerce and in daily life, and to hold up the caring and loving relationships that might be out there as a gift from God in a gay union, perhaps. And one more thing, and then I'll let you comment. And that in no way does that diminish freedoms that we might enjoy. Because it's not an endorsement. The law doesn't necessarily say the United States or the state of Minnesota endorses this behavior or that behavior. It's not a publicly sanctioned behavior. It's just that there are protections in place for people who choose to live one way or another as far as their participation in their life goes. So I just feel like I'm so close to you, to the way you're thinking. Spiritual. But I don't know. I have a place for alternative ways of thinking.
I do think, though, that the public is sanctioning it when the agenda in the public schools is presenting homosexuality as an alternative lifestyle. It very much does that. I don't think necessarily someone should be denied a place to live, but if, for example, they had people coming and going all the time, I think it should be the right of the apartment owner to tell the person to leave, even if that person happened to be a heterosexual who was a hooker and had people coming and going. I don't think it should be illegal for the person to use his own judgment. I do feel that I can't help but think that the real pain that the homosexuals have suffered in abuse is not coming from the Christian community. And if they are being abused as human beings, that is a moral problem on the part of the abuser. And it's not going to help to legislate a law. It's sin on the part of the person that's treating the individual poorly. And that isn't going to be helped by the law. But in the other sense, it is infringing. It could infringe on the rights of groups such as the evangelical Christians or trying to raise their children within their moral framework. And many of the people I know can't afford to send their children to private Christian schools. They just don't have the money. And so these children are exposed to the public school teaching that homosexuality is accepted lifestyle, and they're really under.